بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين إله العالمين وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا رب يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين. We thank Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal for having gathered us here today. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to surround us with the malaika and to cause His mercy and His sakinah to descend upon us and to raise us with the anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam and those whom He has mentioned with them. Ameen. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, the famous companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was in the company of the companions when he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, it was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who asked the companions. There was a cloud passing, so he said, مَا تُسَمُّونَ هَذِهِ. What is it that you call this? So they said, السَّحَابَة. It is a cloud. And he said, وَالْمُزْنُ. And what about الْمُزْن? So they said, الْمُزْن. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them, wal-anan, and the companions remained silent. They were puzzled as to what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asking them about. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hal tadruna kam bayna al-ardi was-sama? Do you know what is the distance between the earth and the heaven? So the companions radiyallahu anhum jami'an, they responded by saying, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and His Messenger know better. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains to them, بَيْنَهُمَا مَسِيرَةُ خَمْسُ مِئَةِ عَامٍ. Between them there is a distance of 500 years, whether that is 500 years of travel or 500 years of something else, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And then he says, وَبَيْنَ كُلِّ سَمَاءٍ وَسَمَاءٍ خَمْسُ مِئَةِ عَامٍ. And between every sky and the next sky is 500 years distance. And then he says, وَفَوْقَ السَّمَاءِ السَّابِعَةِ بَحْرٌ. And above this seventh heaven, there is a huge ocean. And مَسِيرَةُ بَيْنَ أَسْفَلِهِ وَأَعْلَاهِ مَسِيرَةُ مَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The distance between the beginning of this ocean, the start of it, the lowest point of it, and the highest point of it is the distance between the heaven and the earth. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, وَفَوْقَ ذَلِكَ. And above that are angels, بَيْنَ أَقْدَامِهِنَّ وَرُكَبِهِنَّ مَسِيرَةُ مَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. There are angels between the feet and the knees is the distance that is between the earth and the heaven. And then he says, ثُمَّ فَوْقَهُ الْعَرْشِ. And above that is the arsh. And the distance of the lowest part of the arsh and the highest part of the arsh, the distance between these two is the distance between the heavens and the earth. ثُمَّ فَوْقَ ذَٰلِكَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Then above that is Allah جَلَّ وَعَلَى. وَلَيْسَ يَخْفَى مِنْ أَعْمَالِ بَنِي آدَمَ شَيْءٍ. And the sons of Adam, any deed that they do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it. Nothing is hidden from above the seven heavens, from above the earth, from all of this distance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it makes no difference to Him whatsoever. He knows every single thing that happens on this earth. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. He knows the thoughts that go through our minds. He knows the emotions that go through our hearts. He knows it better than we know it ourselves. Allahu Akbar. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Imam Ahmad rahimahullahu ta'ala was asked a question. And this question was, كم بيننا وبين عرش الرحمن. What is the distance between us and the arsh of Ar-Rahman? The same question. Or a similar question. And he responded, دَعْوَةٌ صَادِقَةٌ مِنْ قَلْبٍ صَادِقٍ. A truthful dua from a truthful heart. So all of this distance can be cut by a person with a dua that comes out of his heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful to us that he says, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We are closer to him than his jugular vein. All you have to do is raise your hands to Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal to cut through all of this distance to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is of importance? دَعْوَةٌ صَادِقَةٌ. It must be a truthful dua. من قلب صادق, from a truthful heart, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my servants ask you, O Muhammad, about me, then indeed I am near, I am close. Why? Because all you have to do to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, raise your hands to Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. I have a message for you, dear brothers and sisters in Islam. Wallahi, sometimes we become attached to the person that brings us the message more than we become attached to Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. This is wrong. Wallahi, this is wrong. The message is always to bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَطَّتِ السَّمَاءِ. The heaven has become heavy. وَحُقَّ لَهَا أَن تَئِطَّ. And it has the right to become heavy. It deserves to become heavy. Why? مَا فِيهَا مَوْضِعُ أَرْبَعِ أَصَابِعِ إِلَّا وَمَلَكٌ وَاضِعٌ جَبْهَتَهُ سَاجِدًا لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى. There is no four fingers, space of four fingers in the heavens except that an angel is placing its forehead on the ground for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. سَاجِدًا لِلَّهِ. In prostration, ultimate humility for Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us something profound, something amazing. Wallahi لو تعلمون ما أعلم. Wallahi, if you knew what I know, لضحكتم قليلا, you would have laughed a little. ولبكيتم كثيرا, and you would have cried a lot. Why would you have cried a lot? Because you knew what Jibreel looked like. You heard the angels themselves. Then you would have cried a lot. You would have seen what the unseen was like. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he knew the magnanimity, the greatness of Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, he would perform salah to the point that his feet would become filled, full of blood. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Where are we from that? Because we don't know what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew. What does that teach us? We need to learn more about Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. We need to learn more about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hadith continues, وَمَا تَلَذَّذْتُمْ بِالنِّسَاءِ عَلَى الْفُرُشِ. You would have not enjoyed yourselves with women upon bedding. Why? Because you know now the magnanimity of Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, the reality of Yawm al-Qiyamah, the reality of what the unseen is like. Allahu Akbar. Yes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not know all of the unseen. It is only Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal that is the ultimate knower of the unseen. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him certain things that we did not see. For example, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam was seen in his true form by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, this reality of the knowledge of the magnanimity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala led the anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to humble themselves not only before Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal but before his creation. Why? So that they, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine, they sat with the people. They spoke with the people, yet they were God's legislation on earth. literally the means by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose salvation for mankind. They were humble before the people. Why? Solely for the pleasure of Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. The hadith continues. وَلَخَرَجْتُمْ إِلَى الصُّعَدَاتِ. And you would have come out into the streets. تَجْأَرُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. You would have been fearful and in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remembering Him, thinking about Him, worried about what would happen to you, because you knew who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. This is the reality of knowing who Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal is, His greatness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says,
وَلَا تَنْفَعُ الشَّفَاعَةُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا لِمَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ.
And shafa'ah, the intercession, will be for nobody. It will not benefit anyone except for the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to benefit. Except for the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows for that shafa'ah to benefit. And the greatest person, being the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will be allowed for the shafa'ah to benefit, will be none other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will come on the day of Qiyamah, and we all know that the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam, people will go to them asking for shafa'ah one after the other, from Adam to the last messenger, except for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they will all refuse. Until they come to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he will say, he will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open upon him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open certain ad'iyah, certain tasbih that he did not know before that. He will place his head on the ground for Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, seeking his praising him. Completely praising him in the most beautiful manner. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, Irfa' ra'saka ya Muhammad. Raise your head, O Muhammad. And we say, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sal tu'tah. Ask and you will be given. Washfa' tushaffa'. And seek intercession, you will be given the intercession. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his ummah. And he will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the believers. This is the great maqam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about. Al-maqam al-mahmud. The praised position. Why? Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from there. It is said, in fact, it is mentioned in the Quran as well, that the angels, when they hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak, then they begin to flap their wings until a sound like the striking of a chain is heard on the rock. A sound like the striking of a chain upon a rock is heard. And the angels actually go unconscious, completely from the terror and the awe of knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking. And then they come back to consciousness. And when they come to consciousness, the ones who are closest to the arsh, they begin informing the other ones that this is what happened. And the ones further away ask, مَاذَا قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ. What is it that your Rabb said? What is it that your Rabb said? And they will respond, قَالُ الْحَقِّ. He has said the truth. وَهُوَ الْعَلِيِّ الْكَبِيرُ. And he is the highest, the greatest, the most magnanimous. Why? Because they know what Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal sounds like. Allahu Akbar. Imagine hearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself speak. These angels fall into prostration for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They become unconscious from the reality of listening to Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. It is only my ignorance and your ignorance, dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that leads us to commit sin against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to disobey Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. If we knew the being whom these commands are coming from, we would have never disobeyed Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day of Qiyamah, and this is mentioned in a hadith that was narrated to us by a Jewish man. He came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Inna najidu fit Tawrah. Indeed we find in the Tawrah, أن الله يضع السماء على إصبع, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, He will place the heavens upon a finger. ثُمَّ يَضَعُ الْأَنْهَارَ عَلَىٰ إِصْبَعْ وَالشَّجَرَ عَلَىٰ إِصْبَعْ. Then He will place the rivers upon a finger, and He will place the trees upon a finger. ثُمَّ يَضَعُ سَائِرَ الْخَلْقِ عَلَىٰ إِصْبَعْ. Then He will place the rest of creation upon a finger. ثُمَّ يَهُزُّهُنَّ وَيَقُولُ أَنَا الْمَلِكُ. Then He will shake them completely, and He will say, I am the king, I am the king. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he laughed at this point. تَصْدِيقًا لِمَا يَقُولُ. In bearing truth for that which this man was saying, he laughed, bearing cognizance or bearing truth to the fact that of what this man was saying. And then he recited the ayah. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. They did not appreciate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, value Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His true valuation. وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ. And the entire earth will be in His grasp on the day of Qiyamah. وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَّاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ. And the heavens will be rolled up in His right hand. سُبْحَانَهُ. Glory be to Him. وَتَعَالَى عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. And very exalted is He from that which they associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine all of the rivers, all of the mountains, all of the creation in the grasp of رَبُّ الْعِزَّةِ وَالْجَلَالِ, and He shakes them and asks you, He tells you, أَنَا الْمَلِكَ, I am the king. On that day, where is our authority? Where is our might? Where is our power? Where is our position in society? You are the chairman of the masjid, and Allah, I'm not talking bad of the chairman of this masjid. But where is your power? You are the leader of a country. Who are you today? Nobody. Who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Everything. Allahu Akbar. At that point, a human being realizes that his place with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what exactly is it? Do you know why we place the most blessed part of our bodies on the ground every single day? More than 5 times in a day. Because in salah, how many times do we place our head on the ground for Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal? In 4 raka'at, 8 times. So we place this because this most blessed part of the head on the ground, because we acknowledge our humility before Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. We are acknowledging our position before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, he understood his place with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding that which Ibrahim himself said, الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي فَهُوَ يَهْدِينَ. He is the one who created me. Allah is the one who created me, so He will guide me. وَالَّذِي يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينَ. And He is the one who will feed me, and He is the one who will nourish me. He will give me water to drink. He will quench my thirst. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. And when I become sick, when there was something negative, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam attributes it to himself. When I become sick, فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. So He is the one who grants me shifa. He did not say, and take note, when it was comes to creation, he said, Allah created me, so He guided me. He is the one who feeds me. He is the one who quenches my thirst. But when it came to a negative connotation, then he says, when I become sick, then He is the one who cures me. Why? Because he understood his place with Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, وَهِيَ تَجْرِي بِهِمْ فِي مَوْجٍ كَالْجِبَالِ. When the waves were moving like mountains amongst the ark. The ark was being tossed around. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَادَى نُوحٌ إِبْنَهُ وَكَانَ فِي مَعْزِلٍ يَا بُنَيَّ ارْكَمْ مَعَنَا. Nuh saw his son standing aside. So he called him, he said, oh my dear son, come and ride with us. come and ride with us today. So his son says to him,
يَا بُنَيَّ ارْكَمْ مَعَنَا وَلَا تَكُمْ مَعَ الْكَافِرِينَ قَالَ سَآوِي إِلَى جَبَلٍ يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ.
He said, I will go into the mountains that will protect me from the water. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the water as a mountain. He described the waves as a mountain. So this man did not take heed from the fact that the waves were just like a mountain. What is a mountain going to do for you on this day? And he said, I will go into the mountains, they will protect me from the water. The response of Nuh alayhi salatu was salam,
قَالَ لَا عَاصِمَ الْيَوْمَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمْ.
There is absolutely no savior from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except for whom he has mercy upon.
وَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَا الْمَوْجُ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ.
So the son of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, a wave came between him and his father, so he was from those who had completely drowned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says about how Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam called out to him,
وَنَادَى نُوحُ رَبَّهُ فَقَالَ رَبِّ إِنَّ بْنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي.
He said, Oh Allah, he called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Oh my Rabb, indeed my son is from my family.
وَإِنَّ وَعْدَكَ الْحَقِّ.
So first of all, he acknowledges that, Oh my Rabb, Oh my Maker, you are my Maker. And indeed your promise is completely true.
وَأَنْتَ أَحْكَمُ الْحَاكِمِينَ.
And you are the most just of rulers. What is Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam saying here? He was promised that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would protect his family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would look after his family. So he says, Oh my dear father. He says, Oh Allah. Sorry. He says, Oh Allah, indeed this son of mine is from my family. He does not say that you promised to look after my family. Look at what you have done. No, rather indeed your promise is true. Oh my dear Rabb, and you are the best of judges. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
قَالَ يَا نُوحُ إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ.
Oh Nuh, he is not from your family. Oh Nuh, he is not from your family.
فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنِّي أَعِظُكَ أَن تَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ.
Oh, so don't ask me of that which you do not know. I advise you not to be from amongst those who are ignorant. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, immediately he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again he says, Oh my dear Maker, Rabbi, إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ أَنْ أَسْأَلَكَ مَا لَيْسَ لِي بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Oh my dear Rabb, I ask you to your refuge, I seek your refuge to protect me from asking that which does not concern me, I have no knowledge regarding. وَإِلَّا تَغْفِرْ لِي. And if you do not forgive me, وَتَرْحَمْنِي, and have mercy upon me, أَكُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, I will be from those who are losers. This was the attitude of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, he is thrown into the ocean. In fact, he goes into the ocean with a boat. And then the people decide that this man is the one that needs to be thrown into the ocean. So they throw him into the ocean. And he plunges into the darknesses, under the darkness of the storm that was taking place, the darkness of the sea, and then he is swallowed up by a whale, and he is in the darkness of the belly of a whale. And from the darkness upon darkness upon darkness, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, he calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي فَغْفِرْ لِي. Indeed, I have most definitely harmed myself. I have oppressed myself. So forgive me. And if you do not forgive me, I will be from those who are losers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to him and saves him. This is the attitude that the Anbiya alayhim wa salatu wa salam had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why did they have this attitude? Because they knew so much of who Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal was. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He prevented us from reciting the Qur'an when we are in sajda. We are not allowed to recite the Qur'an when we are in ruku' and sajda. Why? Because when you are in ruku' and you are in sajda, you are in a place of humility, humbleness. This is not a place to mention the words of Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. His words belong to a high place. So when you recite, you should not be on the ground prostrating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, you should be sitting, you should be standing. And this place of humility is made for what? For dua. Why is it made for dua? Because at this point you are declaring that you are most humble before Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. And at this point you are declaring your inability before the ability of Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. So you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your sajda, and you do not recite His words out of the magnanimity of Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. It is said that when Fir'aun was dying, then Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam, he actually went to Fir'aun. Because when Fir'aun was dying, then he recited the kalima, he recited the shahada, he uttered that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one worthy of worship. He believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and Musa as the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is reported that Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam actually went and started putting dust in the mouth of Fir'aun. Why? Because he didn't want him to be saved because of the punishment that was with him. The punishment that he deserved. He didn't want him to be saved. He knew what kind of evil this man had done. So he actually began to put dust into the mouth of Fir'aun. What does this teach us? It teaches us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most merciful, most forgiving. No matter what we have done in our lives, no matter how far we have discarded Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, He will never discard you. Remember that you have a chance at asking Him for His forgiveness, asking Him for His mercy. You have a chance at these great qualities of Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal until your soul is coming out of your body. حَتَّى إِذَا أَدْرَكَهُ الْغَرَقُ قال آمنت أنه لا إله إلا الذي آمنت به بنو إسرائيل وأنا من المسلمين. Fir'aun was being told that now is the time. The soul was coming out. It was being pulled out. And he now realized that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the only one worthy of worship. So what does he do? He turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I believe in the Rabb that Banu Israel believed in. Imagine, these are the people whom he oppressed his entire life. He drove them out of their land, yet he is believing in their Lord today. Where is your arrogance, O Fir'aun? Where is your haughtiness, O Fir'aun? What happened? And Jibreel is putting dust into his mouth. You deserve what you are getting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَالْيَوْمَ نُنَجِّيكَ بِبَدَنِكَ. Today we have removed your body from the ocean. We will save your body. We will preserve your body. لِتَكُونَ لِمَنْ آيَةٍ لِمَنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَةٍ. So that you may be a sign for those who come after you. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we need a balance in our deen. We need to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving, most merciful. This is part of the azamah and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, He is very severe in His punishment. So when we have this, then we will have a balance in our lives and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect us. A point of note. The hadith that I began with, some scholars actually mention that there is a weakness in the chain of narration. But if this brings us closer to Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, there is actually quite a few of these narrations that have come together. But if this brings the people closer to Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, it is better than narrating a fairy tale. It is better than narrating a lie to you. Some people come to you and tell you stories of things that have not happened in order to bring you closer to Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. You can never come closer to the most truthful by a lie. So it is better to mention weak narrations at times rather than mention that which is a lie and a fairy tale. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us on the truth, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq. Ameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.